Strap yourself in now to a fireproof single-seat cockpit and just hit the gas. What you're hearing is the nearly actual sound of a Formula One driver racing down the track back in the 80s. Footage from a new movie that puts you in the driver's seat of one of the great competitive dramas of auto racing history. It's about the battle in the 1980s between two of the greatest drivers in the world and the triumph and fall of one of them, Ayrton Senna, the Brazilian legend who raced for McLaren and changed Formula One forever. A driver who seemingly was put on the earth to drive fast, here he is remembering driving makeshift cars as a kid.
When I was go-kart driving, it was pure driving, pure racing. There wasn't any politics then, right? And no money involved either. So it was real racing, and I have that as a very good memory.
This astounding new documentary, Senna, captures the feel of Formula One racing. It captures the heart of a reclusive champion and the tragedy of an epic competition between two racers where only one could win. Joining us is Asif Kapadia, the director of Senna. Good morning.
Morning. This is a triple sort of arc, a treasure trove for a documentary filmmaker, it seems to me. You found an extraordinary archive of footage. You found a couple of amazing characters. And you've also found just an amazing story that's about the emergence of one man. It's the emergence of Brazil. It's the sort of transformation of Formula One racing going on in the 1980s. This is everything.
It's everything. And also, there's something amazing about the amount of footage we found that it feels like you're watching a drama. It's all real, though. Everything is, you know, as it happened. We're just trying to show what happened at a particular moment in time with a very amazing character and the people he came across in his amazing journey.
Tell us about Ayrton Senna, the driver from Brazil who came out of nowhere and took over the world.
Well, he was a guy from Brazil, from São Paulo, who came to Europe, took on the Europeans. The best driver at the time was a Frenchman, Alain Prost. The film follows his journey from one car to the next, in order to get into the best car, in order to take on the best driver. And at the time, that was a team called McLaren. And the thing about Formula One is there's always two cars. There's always two drivers in the same car. So the first person you have to beat is your teammate. You know, they're called teammates. It's actually an oxymoron. Your first rival, you know, is really what it should be. And also the whole thing about Formula One is it's about technology on the limit. And the cars are not all equal. They're all unequal. You know, the best cars are at the front. They have the most money, the best sponsors, the best drivers, the best engine, best everything. The weakest cars are at the back. And Senna started at the back and very, very quickly proved himself and very, very quickly went through the teams in order to get to the best team to take on the best driver.
Ayrton Senna has now passed Keke Rosberg and is in third place.
What was it about his talent that allowed him in inferior cars to triumph over spectacular drivers in spectacular cars?
He had a way of pushing the car to the limit and actually going slightly over the limit, but without losing control of the car. So he could do things with a car, but it would just twitch as it would come around corners. He had a way of driving. He had a way of accelerating and using the pedals in a way that no one else did. And somehow he kept the car on the track and he would be just faster than everyone, you know. And he also had an intensity. He had a way of being very intimidating as a driver. So people would see his bright yellow helmet in their rear view mirrors, see him coming through, and they just knew that he's going to come through whatever happens. I might as well get out of the way. If I don't, we're probably going to crash.
And these were skills honed as a go-kart driver that his parents encouraged from the age of five.
I mean, he was one of the first of that generation of kids who just drove carts all their life, you know. So from about four or five, he had a cart. He was always, São Paulo has a lot of rain, so he was always practicing in the rain. So the other test of a driver is, if you can drive in bad weather, in rain, that really shows the genius. Even if you're in a poor car, it evens them up a bit. And the very first race in Monaco 84, where he really proved himself to the world, he came from 13th in the field, right the way through to second, and he was catching 3 seconds a lap the best driver, Prost, in the best car, the McLaren. He should have won that race, but as you see when you see the film, for some reason or another, he managed to not win it.
Well, I think we are watching the arrival of Ayrton Senna as a truly outstanding talent. He's catching Alain Prost at something like 3 seconds a lap, and that is a truly staggering performance.
Well, what makes this movie Senna truly extraordinary is that this is really the story of a rivalry between the head and the heart. And Senna, of course, is all heart.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a passionate Brazilian. He's the guy that, you know, he said what he thought on camera. He would tell people what he thought. He would fight. He would be, you know, and Prost was
almost mystical. He's all about God and
spiritual. And, yeah. Absolutely. You know, he comes, he's a man of faith, and he just was, you know, and sometimes he turned people off because he was so upfront. And Alain is much more political. He's much more cerebral. He's the thinker. He was known as the professor.
This is Alain Prost, the other McLaren driver.
So he was a Frenchman. And so what you have is a passionate Brazilian versus the very, very cool-headed Frenchman. Alain, the sport at the time was run by the French. So you have these two guys, and it's basically a period of time when the two best drivers came head to head in the same team. And it's like Arlie Frazier, it's Borg McEnroe, it's geniuses who are very different in character and personality at a particular moment in time, coming head to head time and time again.
What happens now, you two?
Good fun. We'll have good fun from now on.
Maybe we fight outside the car.
As a filmmaker, of course, he died in the San Marino Grand Prix in 1994. How did it make you feel to know the end?
It was a key thing. I mean, first of all, I'm a drama director. So for me, this is my first documentary. So I'm working from a drama kind of background. And the idea was to always make the film in the present, using the footage to show what was happening at the time. So very consciously, there are no talking heads from present day people. We have interviews that we've done. You hear voices. But entirely, the film is 100% of the time. And therefore, there's something about staying in a moment. You feel very much alive. You stay right there following him from one beat to the next. And the film plays like a three-act drama. It plays like a classic narrative. You know, some of the things that happened, some of the things that were on camera, you just can't believe the footage exists. And a number of times while we were editing, we'd say, you know, if you had written his story, you would not believe it. It's because it's a documentary, because it's all real, that you can get away with it. Because as a fiction film, you'd go, get out of here. You know, he stalls on the grid on the most important race of his life. He ends up 14th, and somehow he comes through the field and he wins the race to win a world championship. If you did that in a movie, you'd say, you know, you're overdoing it.
Cheesy, Hollywood.
Yeah. And in Jean-Marie Balestre, some of the people we come across, the guy who ran the sport at the time, the Frenchman, he is an amazing character. You would not believe him until you see him.
So Asif Kapadia, director of the film Senna. In the end, as a drama director, as a storyteller, and as a filmmaker, and as a journalist now, because you're a documentary filmmaker, what did him in? Was his time up, Senna? Or was there something about his character?
He lived life on the edge. He was one of those people who just wouldn't give up. One of the things that makes him amazing is he refused to quit. He refused to walk away from a fight. And so what happens is, it's complicated. Formula One is about money and politics. And what happened was, you know, this car that he became obsessed with getting into had all of the great technology on it. And because that car kept winning every race, the people who ran the sport decided to remove the technology. And they did it in one fell swoop. It just happened to be the year that he got into the car. And so he said before the season started, this car's tough to drive. There's going to be a few incidents. You know, he felt a lot of people are going to have accidents. And that year, 1994, you know, there were a lot of young drivers, a lot of rookies who had terrible accidents. And it all leads up to the final act of our film is Imola, 1994 in San Marino. And it was a cursed weekend. You know, there were seven terrible accidents that happened that weekend. And we slow time down. You know, during the movie, we're going through a decade of his life. And suddenly we slow down time and you slow down time. And we start showing what happens and how it affects him. And because of the coverage we have, you see that suddenly he falls out of love with his sport. I don't know if he wants to be there anymore. I don't know if he wants to drive again. The problem is he's not a quitter. And he has to drive because that's what he does. And his answer to most problems in life was to go even faster than he went before. And so it's a part of him, you know, and that's why he's so amazing and so inspirational. But in this case, it's a tragic coincidence, you know, because he just wasn't built that way. He wasn't the kind of person who could walk away.
And indeed, he doesn't in the end. Asif Kapadia, director of the film Senna, about the Formula One driver from Brazil who had the most amazing run from the 1980s to 1994. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Few people really do know myself. They just don't understand what it takes from a racing driver, somebody that has left behind thousands and thousands of miles away family and friends to live in Europe, being so young and always in a fighting will. Nothing ever has come easy.
The voice of Ayrton Senna. Drive carefully this weekend, folks. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.